This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
It is this weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Sunday morning, early, while you're probably still sleeping. In just a few days, millions of Americans will lose an hour of sleep as daylight saving time begins. Starting on Sunday, March 9th, the U.S. will spring forward an hour at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Great.
I'm going to be absolutely dead on Monday. I have not been sleeping at all.
I haven't either. That's funny you said that.
I have not either.
It's been bad.
I've been sleeping very poorly.
And probably last Saturday.
Been, you guys too? Warm.
No, I think it's the pressurization.
Barometric pressure?
Yes. My knuckles have been popping just the last two nights.
That's called age.
I know. I have not slept well. And Sam, you know I cut out all my diet soda. I tried diet ginger ale, and I really like it, but I looked that up today, and it has aspartame in it.
Just a quick note, if it says diet on it,
yeah,
you don't want it.
I looked it up today and it has aspartame in it. Yeah. And so I've been drinking enough of it that I'm wondering, is that what has interrupted my sleep?
Have you tried water?
Yeah, she doesn't do water well.
I've got tea in here today.
I've got a full carafe of water.
Got some tea.
Did you say that we're now doing ginger ale?
Diet,
Would you care to do some tonic or maybe spring water?
No, I would not.
I'm a big fan of ginger ale, but no, you need the regular sugar.
Tell me you guys are old without telling me you're old.
I was trying to cut out diet Coke.
Do you like the fizziness? Is that what it
yes.
is?
Yes.
Well, then what you need to do is just go get some seltzer water.
Ooh,
yeah. I drink that like crazy.
Do you really?
Mm. And then add a little bit of the good flavoring to
it. Lemon or lime, like actual lemon or lime.
I just go to Aldi and get the grapefruit flavor. Good.
Okay.
Right, grapefruit. Yes.
While most states do follow this biannual clock change, Arizona and Hawaii are the only two that do not observe daylight saving time and refuse to roll their clock forward and backward every single year. I believe there's also a small portion of Indiana, if I'm not mistaken, that also refuses to go back and forth all the time.
Just a couple of counties.
Mm-hmm. Many states have passed measures to stay on daylight saving time permanently. A move that some have called lock the clock. For some states, they're willing to go forward with it as long as a few of their neighbors do the same. So, for example, Missouri would have to go along with Illinois and the state of Kansas because they have two major cities on each side of the state.
Yeah.
Why don't we just pass a federal law? And I know this comes up every single time we talk about it, every 6 months or so.
I know.
Why don't we pass a federal law that meets in the middle? Take the 30-minute mark, reset the clock.
Because then we're like the only people on the planet who are on that 30-minute mark. Everybody else is like at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And like, let's say they're 6 hours ahead of us, 6.5. We're now at 9:30 in the morning.
We already have to Google what time is it here to know what time it is there.
No.
So what's the difference going to be if there's a 30-minute change?
We just need to get used to, go to standard, and just get used to...
And stay there.
...not having the sun up at 9:40 in the evening in the summer and have it...
So what are we on right now?
Go down at standard? 8:40. No, yes, we are on standard right now.
Currently, we are on standard time.
Yes.
And then on Sunday morning...
forward...
We move to daylight...
Daylight
DST.
Time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
So yeah. You're saying stay right here?
Yeah.
I'm okay with that, because in the summer, the sun would still be up at like 8:30 at night.
Yeah.
But in the winter, the sun goes down at 4:45.
I saw the quote yesterday, yeah. Cutting 1 inch of cloth off the bottom of a blanket and sewing it to the top does not make the blanket longer.
That is correct.
I mean, it's all arbitrary, this whole concept of
time is a social construct.
That's right. Watches and clocks and time and... Solar system doesn't care.
No, it doesn't. I don't care which way we go, but tell me because they've actually done studies on this.
More heart attacks the day after the time change.
Just one move in 1 hour. Come Monday, I guarantee you all of us are going to act like we just had jet lag.
I know.
Like we went to Europe and came right back.
Don't heart attacks also go up?
Yeah, that's what Sam just said. Strokes. Heart attacks go up the day after you move the clock forward.
It's just my brain hurts thinking about it. Just tell me what time it is.
All right.
Tell me what time it is.
Early, it's 4:11.
Where I need to be and when. And by the way, tomorrow is Read Across America Today. Day. Day. Today.
Tomorrow.
Are you
tomorrow.
Okay?
Yes. Is Read Across America Day tomorrow.
Today, tomorrow.
What?
And every year I go read to some of the school children, and I am doing that this week, and I'm super excited.
How come nobody ever asked me to go read to their
kids?
You want
to go read with me? I wasn't asked this week.
I wasn't asked.
Well, I will put your name on the list.
For next year, but I'm not doing it this year. I refuse. Right.
I refuse to read Across America. I'm not doing it.
I want to be included, but not this year.
Well, I don't want to force myself upon people. I want them to genuinely want me to come read to children.
I'm telling you, I've done it several years, and when you get like the first graders, second graders, it is not that it's not as fun when it's older kids, but they are so excited that you are there. They have no idea who you are. Nor do they care.
They don't care.
And I always tell them, pick me out a very funny book. Like, don't let the pigeon drive the bus.
Can you bring your own
you can.
Reading material?
You absolutely can. But I said to them yesterday, they said, do you have a favorite book you'd like to bring? And I said, well, my kids are all in their 20s. And while I kept some of, like, my very favorite books, like Stuart Little and Edward Tulane, those are longer books. I said, so will you please pick me out something that's funny? And I get to go do that tomorrow morning. I'm very excited.
Yeah, that would be fun. Hey, kids, have you heard of Leo Tolstoy?
No, yeah, I'm not doing that.
Chapter 1, War and Peace. We're going to be here a while.
I could just come up with the most inappropriate, awful book you can think of. That's not the point.
I would take them F. Scott Fitzgerald's The Great Gatsby, no. Which I think is the greatest book ever written.
I'm going to read something funny tomorrow at 11 a.m. I'll send you pictures.
What about that one book that's about tow trucks and snow blowing trucks or something?
No, yes.
Dan, no.
No? Oh, okay. That wouldn't be
that is a comedic child's book that is
or
inappropriate.
Or any Dr. Yes. Seuss book.
Are you still allowed to read Dr. Seuss books in school?
I think so. No.
I thought they got canceled.
No. Ooh. I told them to pick me out something. I'm not picky, but I'd rather it be funny.
Okay.
Really, text line? No. 50 Shades of Gray? Come on. That's
really
inappropriate.
Stop it.
Do I have to read that again?
Samuel L. Jackson's book would be good.
Yeah, it would.
I did get my
nap time, kids.
All right. Story here from TMZ.com. Tragedy has struck an 80s-themed Royal Caribbean cruise.
Oh, no.
The fiancé of Faster Pussycat's lead singer has died after going overboard, though her body remains missing, according to TMZ. Oh. Kimberly Birch, the fiancé of Faster Pussycat frontman Tame Down, fell to her death shortly after a heated argument with him aboard the ship, according to her mom. Oh. Carnell Birch telling TMZ that Tame called her on Monday to deliver the heartbreaking news. It is unclear whether Kimberly jumped or accidentally fell from the ship.
She is presumed dead.
Yes. Carnell says Kimberly had been drinking on the cruise, something that is out of sorts for her. She adds that Kimberly was not dealing with any depression or emotional problems and was actually excited about the trip out of Miami. This was an 80s cruise, also featured on the trip Squeeze Adamant, Faster Pussycat,
oh, God.
Tiffany, and Men at Work.
So there were 50 acts, 50 concerts, obviously. They were very early on in the cruise.
It was on day one of the cruise, seven-day cruise.
And they put out the all call on the loudspeaker that there was a person overboard and that they were turning back toward Miami to look for the person in the water. It was the middle of the night.
Yeah.
A couple of other cruise liners came in to the area with their spotlights to try to help. The Coast Guard came in to try to help, to no avail.
This says the circumstances about how she fell remain unclear. It's been a while since I've been on a cruise ship, but generally that is one of the most surveilled vessels. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are cameras everywhere.
There will be footage of her falling unless she was in on the pool deck. I can't think of where those cameras would be stationed without just being obviously up on a pole.
No, oh, that's so sad.
Ken Wolf, our chief engineer, says that one of our other engineers, Sterling Williams, is on that cruise.
No way.
Huh. Middays talked to somebody else who was on the cruise and kind of detailed what happened.
Do they keep going?
They kept going. They went to Nassau, and now they are on their way to Puerto Rico, I believe.
Okay.
Wow.
They kept on moving.
Poor Sterling.
Show must go on.
Trying to see who else is on that trip.
Because there's nothing you can do. Like, I hate to say it, but there's nothing you can do.
Christopher Cross is on that ship. Wow. Sheila E., Men at Work, as I mentioned.
The other passenger that Middays spoke with said that they were being very hush-hush about all of the details on the boat.
Oh, yeah. They're not going to go around sharing what the with the passengers.
As if none of the passengers have Wi-Fi and can pull up TMZ.
Well, one of my favorites, Honeymoon Suites, on that trip to Pal.
I'm surprised you're not
on that ship.
On board.
Yeah.
They that's had a great, Scott at Tapau.
That's a hell of a... Well, they had me at Honeymoon Suite, one of my favorites.
Adam Ant.
Mark Goodman, Alan Hunter, and Downtown Julie Brown are on that trip.
That sounds like a jam.
Well, she has been presumed dead.
Are the original VJs all still with us? Maybe
except one.
For one. Okay.
I can't remember his name. Dang it. The one who happened to be black. He's no longer with us. Can't remember his name.
I thought it was the female you were going to say, so never mind. That shows you what I know. They've got to be getting up there. Like in their late 60s, early 70s.
J.J. Jackson's the one who's no longer around. Nina Blackwood is still with us. Mark Goodman's still with us. Alan Hunter and Martha Quinn. They actually host 80s on 8. Of course they do.
Okay. They're going to be, what, 65 plus?
Every bit of that.
Of course you would know that, Scott.
I'm not the oldest member of the show. He is.
Dan, do you listen to 80s on 8?
No.
He listens to 70s on 7. 913-586-7798. I got to go. Dan, I got to go. Sorry, bye.
Playlists.
Got to go. Story here from the New York Times. Here is a pop quiz for married couples. Keep that in mind. Married couples, not just people who are dating each other or engaged. Do you know your spouse's salary? What about the balance of your partner's 401k? Balance on their credit card? Bonus points if you can cite how much your husband or wife thinks you need to live comfortably in retirement, or even what age he or she hopes that's going to happen. This is from the New York Times. We didn't find this on some Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs website. If you're like most married couples, you're sure you'll ace this test. Nearly 9 in 10 couples say they communicate well with their partner about money. And 94% say they are open and transparent with their better half about finances, according to studies released last year by Fidelity and Ameriprise. In reality, you're lying.
Why don't you guess? Now, I've already told you, so that's not fair. I was stunned when I saw the percentage of Americans who do not know how much money their partner earns, and then let me throw this on top of that, they couldn't even come within $25,000 of their spouse's actual pay.
A third of couples, according to the Fidelity survey, a third of couples in America could not identify their wife's or husband's salary within at least $25,000. More than half disagreed about how much they needed to save for retirement. That's not even counting the outright secrets that roughly 40% of married couples admit to keeping about money.
In another study, Scott, 43% could not correctly identify which salary range their spouse fell into. And I said in the newsroom, I go, what?
Isn't it true that financial infidelity is the number one cause of divorce?
But how is it infidelity if you're not even having the discussion?
Because that opens the door for infidelity. Having an open conversation about it, it limits the possibility that you're going to be hiding money and spending it on things that you guys don't agree you should be spending money on. Like, I don't know, going to the casino three times a week.
We file taxes. What if I said to you, Scott, you and I are, let's say you and I are in a relationship for 10 years, we're married.
We are.
But I'm saying, let's pretend we're married.
Okay.
We have to file taxes. At no point do I say to you, or do you say to me, where's your W-2? Like, how do you not know what your other person makes?
Wouldn't you just put that in the manila folder at home and then hand it over to your accountant?
Yeah. Most couples just say, hey, it's tax season, accountant.
You're not curious? Okay, let me ask you this. No one gets a promotion or changes jobs within the length of that marriage? I mean, there's no way that percentage is, it's got to be too high.
But you know where this comes from?
No.
We were browbeaten for generations that it is distasteful to talk about money.
Well, yeah, at the dinner table with friends, not within your marriage.
Where do you draw the line?
At the marriage.
I would draw it short of that. I want, before we get married, I want to know what you're bringing to the table.
I agree.
Sweet cheeks.
Rent ain't going to pay itself.
I mean, I've always been confused by the notion that we are not allowed to talk about money. Now, it shouldn't be talked about in the light of like, hey, you loser, I make more money than you.
No, of course not.
But it's just an honest conversation about the situation that we are dealing with in our lives,
Do you know what Mary Beth makes?
I do, to the dollar.
Do you know what MP makes?
Yes.
I know what T makes. None of us are married anymore.
Like, at some point, you have to have a conversation about taxes and housing and...
Do you know roughly what Mary Beth has in a 401k or in investments?
I do.
Okay. Do you know about MP?
100%.
As do I. Not him. I mean, with
why would you not? I mean, why?
I don't know.
I don't get into his numbers.
Who's avoiding that conversation? And then my follow up question is, how do you avoid it when we all have to pay taxes? Like, there has to come a point where the W-2 is coming in.
Now you're talking about married couples. Because you and MP can't file together.
If you're cohabitating...
No, you can't.
I'm not saying you file together. That still would come up. You're still opening mail, and hey, your W-2 arrived.
Yeah, because, for example, if... let's say that... And she did. T moves into my house. I want to know if she's going to pay for certain things, am I expecting her to pay too much based on what she makes? Is she getting away with highway robbery? You know what I mean? Like, she's saving tons of money.
Right.
And here I am hawking up all the money.
Unreasonable. 40-some%.
Dana, it says right here in the story. Now, keep in mind, it's 40%.
In the Fidelity survey of 1,500 people.
No. 40% of American couples keep outright secrets regarding their spending.
Well, that I believe.
What Sam was referring to is financial infidelity.
That I believe. That's a completely different conversation than how much money your spouse will. I don't know.
In the Fidelity survey, a third of American married couples could not hit their spouse's annual income within $25,000.
How do you think you're going to retire?
Which means they have no clue. They have no clue.
Yeah, if you can't come within $25,000, you have no idea.
At that point, you're guessing.
Something they're told they're not allowed to talk about.
No.
So it makes them uncomfortable to have that conversation.
Okay, but Sam, that would also suggest to me that you do not have any shared banking accounts whatsoever. Because as the mortgage comes out, or you're paying this, or you're making a car payment, you would see the direct deposits, wouldn't you?
You would be surprised how many people have separate bank accounts.
I have never in my life, and I am 53 years old, I have never shared a bank account with anyone. There has never been a check printed, and you know I love checks.
I know.
There has never been a checkbook printed with my name on it and someone else's. Ever. And I was married to Shonda for 13 years.
And sometimes couples will keep their own separate accounts. Their pay will go into those separate accounts, and then they'll transfer some money into a joint account,
right,
say,
for bills,
kids or whatever. But
okay, but then how can you say you don't know what, unless you are in some sort of, quote, partnership, and I say that very loosely, where one person controls all of the finances, and that's not healthy either.
913-586-7798. A third of American married couples could not pinpoint their spouse's net income, annual income, let me rephrase, annual income, within $25,000. 40% of American married couples admit they, quote, outright lie when it comes to what they're spending money on. You can weigh in on either one. 913-586-7798, 586-7798. We had promised we would do a Terrible Joke Tuesday today. This is a good topic, and it might go past 4:45. We will do Terrible Joke Tuesday at 5:30 this afternoon. Our first ever, if I remember correctly, rush hour Terrible Joke Tuesday.
Oh.
I believe this is our first ever Terrible Joke Tuesday that is not at 3:45.
No, last week we did 4:45. We did 4:45 okay. Last week. This is our first ever rush hour Terrible Joke Tuesday. We'll do that at 5:30. But get in on this topic because we find this fascinating. 30% of American couples can't even remotely pinpoint what their spouse makes. And 4 out of 10 of you outright lie to your wife or husband about where you spend your money. 913-586-7798 on Dana and Parks.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on. 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Hey, this storm is no joke, man. Dana was just telling me off the air down in Carthage, Missouri, which is northeast of Joplin, for those of you not familiar. There are a number of, did you say power poles or light
just,
poles?
No, the entire enormous power poles are just down.
Huh. Okay.
Did you just hear her say 70-mile-an-hour wind gusts?
Yeah, I heard 50 to 70-mile-per-hour wind gusts. Sam, just for the listening audience, because I think, you know, we're looking outside, it's rainy, it's cloudy, it's kind of ugh. Can we replay that forecast one more time, if you don't mind? And then I would encourage everyone to really listen word for word what Jennifer Nairmore, who, by the way, is celebrating a birthday today.
Do you want to hear Busby's instead?
Yeah, I'd rather hear Busby's instead, yes.
Okay.
Periods of rain, heavy every once in a while, and then we'll make that transition over to a rain-snow mix and then to all snow. Blizzard warning is out for most of the listening area. Now, remember, blizzards don't necessarily have to produce a lot of snow, so the accumulations are still 1 to 3, 3 up to the north, 1 around the metro, possibly 2 in isolated spots. The thing that makes this a blizzard are the gusty winds up to 60 miles per hour and the limited visibilities. That's the definition of a blizzard, and that's what we're going to have to deal with. Saving grace is the fact that the road temperature should stay up a little bit, at least before midnight. After midnight or so, that's when we could see a little bit of problems on the roads themselves. Temperatures dropping to 28 in the morning, afternoon high of 37 tomorrow. The snow ends pretty rapidly mid-morning. Then on Thursday, it's all gone. But 22 in the morning, afternoon high of 45 degrees, but sunshine poking back out. Friday's high temperature near 50.
Okay, all right, we know who you are, Brian.
All right,
back to this survey from Fidelity and Ameriprise that finds that 9 in 10 couples say they communicate well with their partner about money. 94% say they are open and transparent with their better half about the finances. Lies. All of it. Because two paragraphs further, it says 40% of Americans admit that they, quote, outright lie to their partner about finances, about where they are spending their money.
It does shed some more light on why the divorce rate is so high.
Let's go to Lisa in Kansas City, 586-7798. Lisa, hello.
Hi. I just wanted to let you guys know that my husband and I always shared our finances from day one, and he made a lot more money than I did. We've been married 31 years, so I guess it goes both ways. But he did keep a lot of money from me, too. So
What does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Well, we got married. It's both of ours, you know, second marriage, and he had money before me, and he always kept it maybe secret. I have since found it because he passed away. I wasn't prepared.
Okay, well, let me ask you this, Lisa, and I'm so sorry you lost him, but he had a spare 401k that you didn't know about kind of thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
And in a bank account, savings bonds. I mean, I don't want to say I'm floored by it all, but I'm a little bit overwhelmed by it all.
If I were you, I'd be thankful.
You would want to know why. I would want to know why. Like, was this an oversight, or did you just not think it was a big deal?
I didn't think it was a big deal. I knew that he had money before me. I mean, we were married later in life. He was 20 years older than me, so I knew that he, you know, lived 20 years longer than me. I mean, at the time. But it was not a big deal. He shared everything. We never, we had a bank account, and if we need them, the money was always there.
Did it bother you to later find out that there was money that he had that you didn't know about?
Extremely.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Were you mad?
Yes. Yes and no. I was mad. I mean, now I'm grateful, but at the time, you know, 20 years ago, we could have used a little bit more money, in my opinion. But now, I mean, finding all this stuff is, luckily, he did put me on as a POD on all of his accounts, and except for one. And so I don't have to go through probate on him, which I suggest everybody have a POD on your accounts or a TOD.
Lisa, last question real quick, if I could. Is it possible? And I know you said you were extremely, I think that was your word, extremely annoyed when you found out that there were other bank accounts that were, or some other funds that were available that you didn't know about. And then you also said at one point, if I'm not mistaken, you kind of wish you knew about it because, you know, there were times where you guys might have been able to use that money or gone on extra trips. Is it possible, because he was 20 years your senior and he knew that you were going to live long after he was gone, that he was keeping that information from you to protect the money so that you would always have it and never worry where your next meal is coming from?
Maybe, but I don't know, because at the end of my work, I was making twice as much as he was.
Okay.
And I'm one of the lucky few that I have a pension that I don't think will ever run out, and I saved money too, so I'm not sure. I'd like to think that now, but
All right.
But you would at least want the opportunity to have the conversation. And now that he's gone, you can't ask.
Let's go to one of our favorites, Barb in Odessa. Barb, hello.
Hi, honey. How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you so much for asking.
Well, have a safe day today. Anyway, Scott, you know, I'm a lot older than you guys, but I was always raised to, we worked together, we put our money together, our checking account together, and we all paid our bills together. But then I did find out, you know, that he was keeping money in a in another situation, like a safety, I guess, which I didn't get mad or anything, but I just wish he'd be more honest about it, you know, than he was, you know.
Hmm.
And the other thing I want to tell you real quickly, I got a picture of an eagle that was outside my yard down at the lake. And he just stood there, and he didn't move or nothing. It was a female. I think it was looking for a male. And I got another quick thing to tell you. I found out the other day that an Indian that played in Yellowstone has property in Lowry City, Missouri, and that's where he lives now.
I have heard about that, Barb.
Yeah, I just thought I'd tell you that.
Well, thank you for calling in. You be safe and be well, okay?
Which one, the guy who plays the CEO or his bodyguard?
There was a story in the Kansas City Star about this about a year ago, that he lived in Missouri, and well, I don't remember which character.
Colbrings Plenty has since passed away.
Deceased. That was 1923, though, right?
Anyway, yes.
They're all the same family.
I understand.
Look it up. You'll get results. Google it.
Okay.
I just wonder if they were related.
We might bring this back as a topic. This is so sad, and I've never understood the world of competitive bodybuilding. Like, if you had to list the things Dana doesn't understand, MAPS is up there.
Definitely.
Marathon running would be up there. Bodybuilding would be up there.
You started working out. You're well on your way.
Yeah, but any kind of just, like, running. You know, there's just things like we all have different interests. I've never understood competitive bodybuilding, and this is so sad and so avoidable, but a 20-year-old competitive bodybuilder has died after her heart stopped due to, quote, severe dehydration. And you've seen these professional competitions where they go out in swimsuits and, you know, there are different types of competitive bodybuilding. One is the all-natural. You know what I'm talking about, Sam.
Yeah, they're showing off the muscle that they
have that worked very, very hard to build.
Yeah.
I knew someone once who did this, and she basically ate an unseasoned chicken breast 4 times a day every couple of hours. I mean,
gotta get a lot of protein.
You really, really have to
commit,
be dedicated, and commit. Listen to this: bodybuilder Jody Vance has died after suffering a fatal heart attack at age 20.
So what this is they will take it's effectively a type of weight loss pill, but the pill is designed to pull all of your water
moisture
out of your system. And so that's it makes your muscles stick out.
But
more.
Are we allowing this? And if so,
I think she allowed it to happen to herself.
One of the competitions I went to was and they drug tested you. No drugs. You had to do it completely naturally, whatever that means.
Yeah, completely natural would mean that you don't have testosterone enhancements. So, you know, the juicing up, just like we would always talk about with the MLB, that would be natural. But you can definitely take the supplements that will dry your body out.
Her family says the death was sudden and unexpected. They are asking for time to process this loss in peace. But they concluded by writing, if anyone takes anything from this, quote, please put your health first and look at how, I mean, my God, she's 20
she's
years
fit.
Old, Scott.
I'm she looking at pictures of her.
So muscular.
Look at this picture of her.
So fit.
I mean, she's got muscles on muscles.
It's just an extreme form of cutting.
Okay, so expand on that, Sam, where it gets to the point, and I think, you know, there are people that are nodding in their cars right now that if you've known someone that they take it so
Yeah, you
to
eat
the brink.
An aggressively healthy, lean diet, what you were talking about, unseasoned chicken breast, unseasoned rice, that's all you're eating, and you are taking diuretics and other supplements that are specifically designed to pull all of the water weight out of your system so that your muscles stick out more.
Her trainer is coming out today saying that she was using two extremely hazardous substances to improve her physique, quote, without my knowledge or approval. And they're hoping, you know, to be an advocate for athletes in the future about this.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. We are discussing this bodybuilder, Jody Vance, who was a bodybuilder in Columbus, Ohio, and died, sadly, last week at the age of 20 after suffering a fatal heart attack while attending a sports festival. She had severe dehydration. Despite every effort by the hospital, they were unable to revive her. 20 years old.
Now, you might ask, dehydration, heart attack, how are those two connected? Your blood literally thickens to the point that your body cannot pump.
Is this an addiction?
I think it can be.
Bodybuilding or working out in general?
Both. But when you know, we've all seen these competitions when people come out and they are in a physical state that is not
normal.
A normal, natural physical state.
I mean, it's an addiction like anything else that you would be passionate about, like if we were addicted to radio. But it can also go too far.
See, I think when you're taking supplements and you're withholding food and withholding water, how is there not something else going on there?
I mean, there's certainly an element where there are a number of people who cannot control the urge to go continue to work out. They call it chasing the pump.
You know, when you were gone, Dana, Sam said to me off the air.
Oh, we're sharing this?
Oh, yeah, we are.
All right.
He says to me with a straight face.
No, it was a joke.
No, it wasn't. He goes, you know, I've had people at the QT ask me lately if I've been bodybuilding.
That is a true story.
I think it's good for you. If you enjoy working out and it gives you the good, happy dopamine feelings.
Scott, how did you respond?
I said, I see that the School of the Blind had to make a quick pit stop at QT.
No, I think you look great, Sam. And as someone that has had body issues over the years, I would like Scott to strike that comment from the record. I think it is good, like all things, in moderation. If you're doing it for the right reasons, if you're doing it because it makes you feel good, like to be the best version of yourself, all of those things. Up until the point that at age 20, this is just so sad.
You don't have any right to tell any of us what to strike from the record. You made fake potato people out of us last night and made us say things that was not kind.
You know you laughed.
Oh, it was so funny.
I almost wet myself. Are you kidding? Mike and Shawnee. Hello, Mike.
Oh, hello. Love your show.
Thank you.
First thing I want to get out right out of the way is if there's any parents out there that their children's coach in whatever sport withholds water from them in practice or any other situation,
it should be a crime.
Either get rid of that coach or switch teams, because I've seen, over the years playing sports, I've seen it. And those coaches need to go to jail. They do not understand how important water is. But with my thing with water is, especially in the high-end contact sports, football, ice hockey and things like that. We know, Scott, that's your favorite sport. even at the pro level, 60 minutes of clock time, players and goalies can lose 10 to 15 pounds of water each game. And what they do is, obviously you're going to drink it and you're going to be right back to your weight. But if you don't gain back the same amount, like if you're 2 pounds under the next day and you're not absorbing that water, they will pull you and they will like medically check you to see why your body, because it's just instant. I mean, it's a pint a pound. So we're talking a gallon, almost getting up to 2 gallons of water that people are missing.
All right, Mike, I got to stop you there. Great points. Thank you for it. But we're up against the news. We have a hard out. Dan Weinbaum has the news coming up in just a moment. The president's address to Congress. Our coverage begins tonight at 8 o'clock here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.